Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, the wonderful beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. In the days before Christmas last week, I read two interesting newspaper columns by two people who described themselves as non-Christians. The first said he was an atheist, and he was very critical of Christmas traditions and observances. But he was critical not because he was anti-Christian or anti-church. Far from it. His point was that Christmas was about the birth of Jesus and could only really be celebrated by those who believed in Jesus. And he went on to point out that Christmas can only be understood in the context of John chapter 3, verse 16, those famous words, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him might not perish but gain eternal life. He was right, and I could not believe it that an atheist would be stating the very simple Christian gospel in a newspaper, quoting to us John 3:16. In fact, I thought he was a better preacher of the gospel than many preachers that I've heard over the years that I have had to sit where you sit. So congratulations to an atheist for reminding me what Christmas is really about. The second writer, a little different, seemed to be what we might call a lapsed Christian. Brought up as a Christian, he no longer attended church and he didn't believe the gospel. He criticised all those politically correct people who object to anything slightly Christian about Christmas. You know, those people who always say happy holidays. And his point was that even though he doesn't believe, he still wants all the Christmas trappings, the cards, the tree, the nativity scene, the gifts, the carols. He doesn't believe in the gospel, but he doesn't want to be denied Christmas, the Christian Christmas. Again, there's a bit of truth that I agree with in both him and the atheist. Although part of me thinks that the lapsed Christian who believes that he doesn't believe in the gospel but wants to celebrate Christmas is really a bit of a cheat. He wants the best of everything. But you know, I think that lapsed Christian is very typical of many Americans. They love the story of the baby Jesus. They love to see the creche, unless they're really politically correct. They love the animals, the star, the manger, the kings, the shepherds. It is all so lovely, they cannot bear to do without it. It's so nice. And who would deny that to anyone in our society? The niceness of the Christian's Christmas story. But as the atheist surely reveals, the Christmas creche doesn't convey the truth of what it symbolises. Because if you just see the baby in the manger, you don't understand why he is in the manger. When the first Christians came to really understand who the baby turned out to be, that is, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, they realized, of course, that because he was special, his birth was very special. But they didn't want to stay in the manger in Bethlehem. They wanted to move on from the lovely story with all those lovely things to its truth in a spiritual way. And that is why the readings today are not about the nativity scene, but simple theological writings about its meaning. In our epistle today, St. Paul writes quite simply in Galatians 4, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. The first thing we notice is St. Paul doesn't say born of the Virgin Mary, he says born of woman, a generic term to symbolise that Jesus was born like all of us, as a human being. Not only that, born under the law, the Jewish law, to redeem those under the law, that is, the human race. St. Paul is declaring that the Son of Mary, born of woman, is also the Son of God sent forth by God. Firstly, God sends forth his Son, and then St. Paul tells us the purpose, redemption. Now, there's not many people who would look at the Christmas creation and see, there I see redemption. But that's what St. Paul says it's all about. Redemption, which in a word means salvation and eternal life in heaven. So this is not a nice story set in the past, a mere historical event which is cute, but is directly related to our existence now, 2,000 years later. The reference to being adopted as sons might seem a little bit strange, particularly for those of you who are women. But again, like the use of the word woman rather than a woman, St. Paul is talking in generic terms, and in particular when he says that he is talks about adopted as sons, he's talking about a relationship between God and us. That is, what he means is that God offers us, men or women, to be in a relationship with him, which is a relationship of sons. Now, this is understood only in the terms of the society of the day. The slave, the one who was in the power of the father, gets nothing. The daughters get nothing. The second, third, and 99th sons get nothing, but the eldest son got everything. The son inherits everything from the father. So when St. Paul talks about us being sons, he is saying all of us, men, women, and children, receive an inheritance from God, who is our father. To be adopted as sons means to inherit everything from God, particularly what is of his nature, eternal life. And we inherit it not by birth, because none of us are the oldest son in a relationship with God. We are all brothers and sisters, surely. Our inheritance comes by God sending forth his Son. The Son was sent that we might become, in a majestic way, sons of God. And with all that such inheritance means, inheritors of eternal life. So St. Paul, in a few lines, has given us a deep theological meaning behind the baby in the manger and all that we celebrate today. However, it is left to St. John in his Gospel to develop this theme that we can really understand the impact of it. This opening of St. John's Gospel is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and through its poetry and majesty declares the theological meaning of Christmas Day. Again, no shepherds, no manger, no kings, no angels, no animals, no star. But these stunning lines: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so here St. John gives his interpretation that St. Paul gives in Galatians 4. And he gives the further meaning when St. Paul talks about redemption. For St. John says, to all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. The same relationship St. Paul is talking about in Galatians. So you see, today we worship the Christ child, because in that child we see ourselves. We see ourselves as children of God, because he is the child of God. And we not only see ourselves, we see what we might be: inheritors of eternal life. This, surely, this truth is really the best Christmas gift of all, because it really is everything we would ever want, everything the world ever would want. And as we look at the Christ child and see ourselves, we see another truth of what St. John says. For we see that this child has made known God to us. What better gift could anyone receive? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.